ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Shrimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 10. Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. Text number 5.
Avataranucharitam. Avataranucharitam.
Hadeschasyanuvatinam.
Hadeschasyanuvatinam.
Pungsamisha katha prokta.
Pungsamisha katha prokta.
Nanakyano parambrita.
Nanakyano parambrita.
Avatara.
Avatara.
Incarnation of Godhead.
Incarnation of Godhead.
Anucharitam.
Anucharitam.
Activities.
Activities.
Hare,
Hare,
of the personality of Godhead.
Of the personality of Godhead.
Cha,
cha,
also,
also,
asya,
asya,
of his,
of his.
Anuvatinam,
anuvatinam,
followers,
followers.
Pumsam,
pumsam,
of the persons,
of the persons.
Ishakata,
ishakata,
the science of God.
Proktaha
is said.
Nana,
various. Akyana,
narrations.
Upabrimhitaha,
described.
Translation: the science of God describes the incarnations of the personality of Godhead and his different activities, together with the activities of his great devotees. Purport. During the course of the existence of the cosmic manifestation, the chronology of history is created, recording the activities of the living entities. People in general have a tendency to learn the history and narrations of different men and times. But due to a lack of knowledge in the science of Godhead, they are not apt to study the history of the incarnations of the personality of Godhead. It should always be remembered that the material creation is created for the salvation of the conditioned souls. The merciful Lord, out of his causeless mercy, descends to various planets in the material world and acts for the salvation of the conditioned souls. That makes the history and narrations worth reading. Srimad Bhagavatam offers such transcendental topics of the Lord in relationship with great devotees. Therefore, the topics of the devotees and the Lord are to be given respectful oral reception.
Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Karamaiham Dadati Svaparantikam Namasreshta manumapi sachiputra matra sorupam rupam tasya grajamurupurim maturingo stavritim radha kundagirivadam horarika madavahasam praptoya sapatita kripaya sri gurum tam natosmi. Avatarena charitam hareschasyanuvatinam pungsam isha katha prokta nanakyano paprimhitaha.
The science of God describes the incarnations of the personality of Godhead and his different activities together with the activities of his great devotees. Yesterday I was in the university library. I was in a university bookshop, actually. And in the bookshop, I was going through various sections on history and different education. I was doing some research in education, so I was looking for some of the latest publications in education. And one of the books that caught my attention was a book written about history. And it said that educationalists for many years have been trying to understand what is the essence of the different departments of knowledge. What does it mean to be an historian? What does it mean to be a psychologist? What does it mean to study sociology? How does somebody who studies these different departments of knowledge think? What are their techniques? What are their methodologies, or what they call a pedagogy? So what makes them tick? What systems do they use? And this one was about how to think historically. And historians have a particular approach to academia. An historian tries to recreate the past through stories, through factual information, understanding facts and information, interpreting facts and information, and evaluating facts and information that they have gathered all through their data, through their different processes for gathering information about what happened historically in time, place, and situations. And the idea of studying history is to learn something. That's the conclusion, is that the rationale behind including history as a subject in universities or schools is to learn about our past. Where did we come from? And hopefully not make the same mistakes, but to build on the mistakes, you know, the trials and tribulations and the triumphs of our predecessors. That's a study of history, pretty much, in a nutshell. And then I caught there was an author, Judith Armstrong, and I thought that name rang a bell for me, so I picked up this book. And it was written about the history. She was the mother of a good friend of mine at school and university. She was a senior lecturer, professor in Russian language in the Department of Languages. And so she had written a big book, thick book, about the history of the Russian department at the University of Melbourne. And she was telling all about these different scholars that came that were influential in establishing the department, and telling about the Cold War period, and telling about this period and that period. And it was very boring to someone who has no interest in the Russian department in the University of Melbourne. Imagine how many copies they made of this book. And she wrote it in 1999, so it's still being sold in the bookshop at the university. But not many people here would have any interest in the Russian department, right? Who are the great personalities that established Russian in Melbourne University? And it went into detail about different people that they met, and stopover in St. Petersburg, and what happened at the airport, and who cares what happened at the airport to this person? But it's important for them, right? It's important for them, important information. Just like we read Prabhupada Lilamrita, and what happened at the airport when Prabhupada landed in Chicago, or what happened in the airport when Prabhupada landed in Melbourne. That's important for us, because it's in connection with Krishna. It's in connection. It has a connection with reality. And that is what history is in a spiritual sense. Prabhupada says here that everybody has this inclination to study about history, just to learn the history and narrations of different men and different times. And we've The internet and libraries and bookshops are full of mundane histories of people that have no apparent connection or no conscious connection with God or with the process of bhakti. And therefore, their histories are not very beneficial for mankind. Bhagavatam says that these books are the places for crows, because they don't help us to advance in our spiritual awareness, in our understanding of our identity. It doesn't give us any information how to progress or to transform. We should learn from history. We should learn how to become better. We should learn how to transform. We should learn how to connect with a higher consciousness of the spiritual reality. And therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is presented for that purpose, Prabhupada explains here today. Srimad Bhagavatam is a history of the narrations of the different incarnations of Godhead, and the devotees related with the incarnations of Godhead. And therefore, it's an inspirational, a transformational, informational text. It's something that we can become, it can move us, it can change our way of thinking, it can inspire us and encourage us and empower us to become better human beings, to realize the purpose of the human form of life. That's what Srila Prabhupada says in the beginning of the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. He traces the history of Gita. The history of the Bhagavad Gita is important. And he says there, Imam vivasvate yogam proktavan aham avyayam vivashvan manaveya praha manu ikshvakaveya pravit. Prabhupada, or Krishna, says that I instructed this ancient science of bhakti, of yoga, to Vivashvan. Vivashvan is the lord of the sun planet. And he said that he instructed this yoga, this imperishable science of bhakti, millions of years ago. Prabhupada says in historical times, this equals something like 120 million years. 120,400,000 years. That's Prabhupada's calculation when Krishna gave Gita to Vivashvan, according to the yugas, according to the duration of the ages. Vivashvan received this 120 million years ago. That's a big history. And then Prabhupada says that in human society, that was in a different planetary system, in the sun planet. Right? But in earth planet, the Manu instructed Ikshvaku, the leader of the Ikshvaku dynasty, in which Lord Ramchandra appeared. He instructed Ikshvaku in this science something like 2 million years ago. 2 million 5,000 years ago, he instructed it to Ikshvaku, his great king. Now, in this purport of the history of the Bhagavad Gita, which is much more important than the history of the Russian department at Melbourne University, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada explains three important things. He says that it's the duty of the leaders of society, of all planets, of the executive heads of all the planets in the universe, it's their duty to receive this knowledge, to understand this knowledge, and to provide this knowledge to the inhabitants, to the citizens, to the prajas, to their dependents, so that their dependents can become free from material bondage to lust. That's why we're receiving Bhagavad Gita. Yesterday we concluded the class. Nanda Mandipu concluded the class with this meditation, this instruction about becoming free from lust by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, by engaging in the process of bhakti. We become free from our attachment to material bondage to lust. And Prabhupada is saying in this purport that the leaders of the executive heads of all the planets have to take this knowledge and present it to the inhabitants, to their prajas, to their dependents, so they become free from material bondage to lust. And then Srila Prabhupada says that this knowledge, he gives the history of this knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita and how potent it is to receive this knowledge of Gita, the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that are presented to Arjuna. And after he gives the history, before he gives the history, he says that the executive heads of all the planets, they have to present this Krishna consciousness. It will be presented in terms of education, in terms of culture, and in terms of devotion. Through education, culture, and devotion, we can understand our position as conditioned souls. And we can become free from our position as a conditioned soul by understanding or by following this education of the Bhagavad Gita, of the Krishna consciousness. We can become free by imbibing the culture of Krishna consciousness. And we can become free from the bondage of material lust by devotion, by cultivating bhakti, which is the whole purpose of the narration, the historical narration of Srimad Bhagavatam. We have a tendency to hear, to read a story, to hear where we came from, to understand our origins, to understand how different people act and react under different circumstances and different situations. That's a natural tendency of the soul. A natural tendency of human existence is to inquire and is to find out, to work out, to wonder, to think about things and to think about connections and relationships and to try to understand. Because the jiva wants to become full of knowledge. The jiva is full of knowledge, but that is an inherent aspirational desire of every conditioned soul, is to be in full knowledge. To be in full knowledge, to be in full bliss, to be completely happy and free from all anxiety, and to connect with our eternality, Satchitananda. And we receive that by understanding these historical narrations of the Srimad Bhagavatam, of Mahabharata, of Ramayana, of the Vedic literatures, the Puranas. Purana means history, really. Old, isn't it? Purana. Naine. Purane. Yeah. Means old. History. It's history. It's not. And there's different types of history. There's recent history, and there's history that happened in the not so distant past, and there's ancient history. And these Puranas present ancient histories of different yugas. This is not in a chronological. It's chronological, you can say, but it's not in a linear chronology that is presented, that it goes back to Jesus Christ or back to Lord Buddha or back in a linear way. But this history that is presented in Srimad Bhagavatam in the Vedic literatures is cyclical history. It's a history that goes around in the samsara. It goes around and comes back again. And the idea is, Prabhupada says, that the material world is provided by Krishna for the living entities, for the salvation. Prabhupada says very nicely here, it should be always remembered that material creation is created for the salvation of the conditioned souls. The merciful Lord, Krishna is so merciful, he's so kind. Out of his causeless mercy, he descends in various planets to perform lila, to perform activities and history, to make history. He's the real history maker. So that the conditioned souls can become attracted, they get the idea to become free from material bondage to lust. That was Srila Vyasadeva had compiled many Vedic literatures, had compiled many Upanishads, many philosophical treatises, and historical narrations, but he was feeling incomplete. He wasn't feeling satisfied. And Narada Muni explained to him, or inspired him, didn't tell him, but he inspired him to understand or to connect to the source of his sense of incompleteness, to his lamentation, to his uncomfortable feeling that he had. And that was coming from he hadn't fully addressed the historical narrations and pastimes and activities of Krishna. He'd given detailed activities and histories of the Ikshvaku dynasty or of the Raghu Vamsa, of the different dynasties. He'd given many explanations of the great kings and kingdoms in ancient times. But he hadn't fully glorified Krishna. He hadn't fully given the narration of Krishna avatars, fully, of Krishna, as particularly as Krishna as a child. He hadn't given much information. And therefore he wasn't feeling satisfied. And we won't feel satisfied until we fully absorb ourselves in those narrations and pastimes of Krishna. Yena yena avatarina bhagavan haririshvaraha. In the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj is always encouraging Sukadeva Goswami to speak more. Continue to speak, but speak about Krishna. Now it's 10th canto of Bhagavatam. He's heard all the narrations of the great kings, a big long line, a big list in the 9th canto of Bhagavatam. And Parikshit Maharaj is very anxiously awaiting. His appetite is piqued. He's waiting for the explosion, the Hare Krishna explosion of the 10th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. He can't wait to hear about Krishna Leela, and particularly about Bala Leela, that Krishna when he comes as a small child, because a child is very attractive. In this purport, in this commentary to Yena Yena Vitarina Bhagavan Haririshvara, it says, Karoti Kana Ramyani Mano Gyani Chana Prabho. O Sukadeva Goswami, it's very pleasing to the mind and to the intelligence to hear about the different leela of Krishna and to hear about Krishna's pastimes and activities. But something is very special. Please continue to tell me about these pastimes of Krishna leela when he's Bala Gopal, his Bala leela. Because that Bala leela, it says, Prabhupada says, and the Acharyas explained that it's nice to hear the leela of Varaha, of Matsya, of Parashuram, of Nrsingadev. It's attractive to hear. And there's many important lessons to take from these pastimes and activities. But it's especially relishable to hear about Krishna when he kicks the Shakata and he releases the Shakata Sura. It's especially relishable to hear Krishna when he lifts Govardhan Hill and he attracts the residents of Vrindavan or protects the residents of Vrindavan for 7 days and seven nights. It's very relishable to hear this pastime of Krishna entering into the Agasura and entering into the forest with his cowherd boys and calves and cows. These pastimes are very relishable to hear because Krishna is a small child and he's acting like a small child. Kritavan kilakamani sahara mena keshava. Krishna and Balaram, they appear in this material world to perform superhuman activities. They look like little cowherd boys in Vrindavan, but they perform superhuman activities that are all attractive. He's the Rasamrita, the Akira Rasamrita Sindhu. He's an ocean of rasa. He can exchange relationship with all living entities in the universe, Krishna, because he's in the heart of the living entities and he knows the desire, the inclination, the aspirations of his devotees, and he can make adjustments so that his devotees advance. His devotees become free from their attachments in the material world. Therefore, those pastimes are attractive. Krishna Leela is attractive. In the Leela of Matsya, he doesn't have childhood Leela. Well, he does. He comes as a little fish, but quickly he becomes a big fish. Right? He doesn't have a long Bala Leela. He has a small Bala Leela. And then in the pastime of Vamana, he comes as a small child, for sure. At first he comes as Vishnu, but then he comes as a small child and he stays there as a Vamana. Vamana means he's small. He's dwarf. Small child. So he doesn't have small childhood leela Vamana. Immediately he gets Upanayana, right? Goes for Upanayana. And immediately he does his pastimes with Bali Maharaj. So we don't hear, he doesn't go to Gurukula, we don't hear what happened in the school, we don't hear what happened at home with his mother and his father. We hear about his birth, but not details. Even Ramchandra, we don't hear a lot. In Balakanda, we don't hear about what Ramchandra did at home and how he played with Lakshman and Bharat and Shatrughna and how they harassed the local people. We don't hear like this. That he went next door and he peed on the floor. We don't hear about Ramchandra doing these things, right? He didn't do that. I mean, he might have, but we don't read about that. But in Krishna, we do. In the Shingadev, he appears out of a column. He doesn't appear as a baby lion, half man, half lion. And it's like, he grows into big Nrisingadev. And then he takes off with Hiranyakashipu. He's Nrisingadev from the start. He's Nrisingadev, not baby Nrisingadev. But Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are different. They have their Balalila. And that Balalila is very, very attractive and sweet to hear. So yena yena vitarena bhagavan haririshvara. To hear about Krishna Lila is very pleasing. And it says, after this verse, Parikshit Maharaj says that yat shrinvata punya shrita, those who hear this katha of Krishna, arati vitrishna, all of the impurities in the heart become dissolved. They're removed. The impurities in the heart are removed by hearing this sattva, this pure katha of Krishna. Sattvam sudyet chat achideena pungsa. And then it says three things happen. Three things happen by hearing the lila of Krishna, by hearing the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The first thing that happens is we receive devotional service. We get some inclination to do bhakti. Bhakti haro chat. Then when bhakti sprouts up in the heart, we become attached to Krishna. So we get an inclination to do devotional service, we get attachment for Krishna, and then we get attachment for bhakti, and then we get the friendship of the devotees. We get the friendship of the devotees. And Prabhupada says in the purport, in his translation to this verse, that the friendships which give us the contribution of Krishna consciousness is through the friendship of the devotees, through the devotional service, attachment to Krishna, and the friendship with the devotees, that we get bhakti, that we get Krishna consciousness. It comes through that sangha, through that association, through the purification. In the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, there are many pastimes and activities, but I wanted to direct our attention this morning in this short period of time which we have left. I'm on this Monday to Saturday roster, and it says we have to finish by 8:30 with questions and answers completed by 8:30. I think they just put this in. This, you didn't have this right. Before I came, they just put this in because I came. The management. By the management. Prana's here. He's going to carry on. Stop him by 8:30. He's the management. So in the Sudama Vipra Lila, it's very instructive because Krishna, this is the first Kuli reunion. You've heard of the Kuli reunion, right? The Sudama and Krishna, they organized their first, some people think that the first one was in Los Angeles. It wasn't in Los Angeles. It was in Dwarka. First Kuli reunion was in Dwarka. And Sudama went there to see his old school friend, his Kuli friend, Krishna. And we know he went there with his sack of flat rice, and he was looking very disheveled and underfed, undernourished, with the bones sticking out, intense vata condition of Sudama. And as a brahmana, he was very pure, and he could go anywhere. So he went through. He had no consideration. He walked into to Dwarka from a village. He walked into Dwarka and he was easily, he simply walked through the entrances. He wasn't questioned by any guards or any of the soldiers there that were manning the gates and protecting the citizens of Dwarka. This brahmana, he was allowed to go anywhere. So he went straight through and he entered into the palace of Rukmini and Krishna. And Krishna saw him coming and he was very enlightened to see his old friend, his old school friend. And so immediately he got down from his bed and he offered all sorts of traditional greeting for a brahmana. He washed his feet and he offered prayers, he offered agya, he offered madhupak, he offered achaman, he offered garland. He offered many types of lamps, right? Not just one lamp, and quickly did the atin finished. He offered Panchadeep, he offered a camphor lamp, he offered big lamps, he offered different types of lamps and different types of incense, different types of sweet-smelling scents. And he offered him all types of varieties of foodstuffs, sweets and fruits and different types of condiments that would be pleasing to receive. And he washed his feet, he washed his mouth before and after he had eaten. He offered him garland, he offered him chamra, he offered everything. And the residents in the palace and the maids in the palace are watching Krishna offering all these upachars to this brahmana who's looking very poor and disheveled. They were shocked to see Sudama sitting up on this big royal throne receiving this such honor by Krishna. And Rukmini, well, she just joined in and started offering offering chamra to Sudama. But everybody else was watching thinking, who is this brahmana? Who is this guy sitting on the bed getting all this worship? He doesn't look very proper here in Dwarka. And so Krishna embraced him, offered very sweet words, and they remembered, they recollected. It's a history. But history is important for us. Our biographies, the history of where we came from. So the reunions are important, especially when they're connected with Krishna. They have some significance. When they're mundane, they're useless, of course. So they recollected the from the previous times, their good old days in the school, and how they had pleased Sandipani Muni, how they had pleased him by their endeavors, by their words, by their minds, by their deeds, by their everything, their being, had pleased Sandipani Muni. And then they remembered that they received a blessing from him, that Sandipani Muni blessed them when he found them in the forest after that torrential, unseasonal downpour. Not just a downpour, it was like an inundation. And it says in Bhagavatam that this was in winter season and shouldn't rain. Not, I mean, here in winter it rains. It rains every season, but there it shouldn't rain. Rainy season is not then. So it was unseasonal rain. And not just rain, but it was like Sambhataka kind of rain. It was completely flooded. And when Sandipani Muni went to see them with the other students in the ashram, he said that you're the best brahmanas. There might be so many people here, but Tushto aham do dvija sreshta. You're the best. You're the of the brahmanas, you're the best. Dvija sreshta. And he blessed them that satyam santu manorataha. Whatever you think in your mind, let that be. Let all of your desires be fulfilled. Because you've pleased me, because you've satisfied me, then I want to give you everything you can. And ayata yata yama, chandamsa yata yama ni. Let the Vedic mantras that you've heard in the Gurukula, let them be ever fresh. Let you never lose the meaning for you. That you always have those Vedic mantras at your fingertips or on the tip of your tongue or inspiring your consciousness. And that ayata yamani is an important and interesting little collocation of words there. Ayata yamani means that something that yata means, yata yama means something that goes off, food that goes off. It says in Ayurveda, when you cook food, after 3 hours, the taste goes from the food. It goes off. It's said to be off food after 3 hours. But what is adyata yama means it won't go off. That food, it's like put it in the freezer. Not put it in the freezer. Of course, it'll lose its taste. But the taste will never go. Ayata yamani means that you will always have a taste for bhakti, for Krishna consciousness. That's the blessing of the spiritual master. That your taste for Krishna consciousness will never dissipate. You'll never lose that original taste you got because you satisfied the spiritual master. And Sudama, he was thinking, remembering that what happened when he went, when Sudama left Krishna's palace, he was completely satisfied. And he couldn't bring himself to ask for anything, you know, for a loan or for anything like that. He's thinking, I can't ask Krishna for any money or for any facility. It was just such a pleasure to be with him and to be recollecting our early childhood pastimes in the ashram of Sandipani Muni in Avanti. So then he was walking home in his same self state, in his old lungi dhoti and his disheveled look, same skinny Sudama heading home back to his village. And he was thinking on the way back, who am I that I'm a poor brahmana and I'm a sinful person? A papi, and I'm such a poor brahmana, daridya. And who is Krishna? Krishna is the Lord and Master of the Goddess of Fortune. He's got everything. And Krishna embraced me. And Krishna did all these things to me in his palace, in Rukmini's house. And he was crying, Sudama was crying, thinking, how could Krishna be so kind and so affectionate to me? I'm nobody. Krishna's like such an important person. And that was his meditation on his return journey. And when he got home, he saw that he couldn't recognize his village. He couldn't recognize his place. He was looking for his place. And he didn't know this new building. It was such a, just overnight, this new building went up in his neighborhood. And he was looking, and there was all these very exalted personalities walking out in front of the building, all these like demigoddesses and demigods and amazing persons and fountains and wide open streets and elephants and all sorts of exotic paraphernalia, and he was completely bewildered. And then his wife came out of the palace. He didn't know his wife. His wife was transformed into this very beautiful heavenly damsel. He didn't know who his wife was. But his wife could see him because he just looked like Sudama. He's skinny brahmana. So she went out to greet him. And then he thought, wow, this is what he got. He didn't ask for it. But he went with the intention, and Krishna had reciprocated with unlimited opulence for his dear devotee, for his friend. And Sudama was again overwhelmed with emotion for his connection with Krishna. And it's said that when Krishna was begging Sudama for his chipped rice, and Sudama wasn't giving it to him, and then when Krishna took one morsel of that rice, Krishna said, how can I ever pay Sudama for this offering? Not all the opulence in the heavenly abode of Lord Indra can repay me, can I give to Sudama. He's given me such a nice offering. Because he had coated this offering with so much bhakti, with so much love, that Krishna became indebted to his devotee, to Sudama. And he's thinking, there's nothing in the world to give him. A palace is nothing to give him. What's a palace compared to what he gave me? And Krishna said, this is the last time he was smiling. It said, Krishna's smiling, he's looking at Sudama when he was eating his flat rice. And he's thinking, this is the last time, Sudama, you're going to be in this skinny body. It's the last time you're going to be in these dirty old rags. It's the last time. Tomorrow, you're going to be a different person. When you wake up tomorrow, you're going to be in a different situation. And he was. But his wife was transformed. And when his wife was transformed, it said that immediately she thought, this is Krishna's mercy. Right? She didn't say, yes, my husband demanded this opulence and Krishna gave it to us. She said, Krishna's so kind. He's given such a nice facility now. Such a nice sari. Such nice earrings. Given such nice jewelry. She's feeling so happy that she had this blessing of Krishna. Not now, I look so good, I'm going to go and show off and show everyone in the village, look at my house, look at my nice jewels. No, but Krishna, she's thinking immediately, it made a very intense impression that Krishna is such a kind person, so merciful. And she understood that, and she embraced her husband, she took her husband into the house and she showed the husband the mercy of Krishna, and Sudama was transformed. One of the lessons we learn from this history in the Bhagavatam, and we learn every pastime in the Bhagavatam is a history, and every historical moment is a connection with Krishna, and every connection with Krishna means there's a lesson for the conditioned soul. There's a purpose there, so that we can learn, so that we can transform, so that we can improve, so that we can understand, develop a deeper understanding. And one of the lessons that we learn, besides many things, besides simplicity and besides humility and besides giving everything to Krishna and besides acknowledging Krishna and besides appreciating Krishna and besides welcoming Krishna and serving Krishna, they're all important lessons. But one very interesting, subtle lesson that we learn from this pastime is that Krishna gave this opulence to Sudama because Sudama had still one very, very minute skerrick of attachment in the material world. And he gave this opulence to him to help him to remove that attachment. And that was he had an attachment to simplicity. He was thinking, he was a little proud that he was a simple Brahman and he didn't need anything. So Krishna gave him everything. And then he got the realization that he can have everything and still be fully Krishna conscious. I want to finish with one other transformational history from 10th canto of Bhagavatam. And it's Manigriva Nalakuvera pastime. And I probably say this every time I come here. Lucky I don't come here very often, and probably you forget every other class I gave. So. Manigriva Nalakuvera, their history is important for us because it's like the Jaga and Madai Lila. It's important for us. And Prabhupada has given many important instructions in his Krishna book and in the Srimad Bhagavatam commentary about what we can take home from this, what we can learn from this pastime, this Lila. But Manigriva, as we know, they became bewildered by opulence, by their facility. And they misused their opulence and facility for sense gratification. So it took them away from Krishna, their facility. And Narada Muni curses them so that they can reform. It's a form of restoration. That curse is a blessing that they can get a deeper understanding and realization of the temporary nature of the material world, to stay in a tree body for a couple of thousand years so that they can't move, and that they can stay naked. They can stay in the same condition that he saw them in which they were completely oblivious to seeing a holy person, to seeing Narada Muni. And so they were cursed to take birth as twin Arjuna trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan. And that wonderful curse of Narada Muni enabled them to have the darshan of Krishna tied to the wooden grinding mortar. So Krishna is a little baby, he's crawling on the earth, on the ground in Vrindavan, and he's bound around the waist by this wooden grinding mortar. Madhya Yashoda had restricted his movements after she captured him. But he was out in the sun. She left him in the sun in the middle of the courtyard, and he was thinking, it's too hot out here, I'm going to go underneath those trees, take some shade. So he crawled over towards those trees, and he knew these trees. So he placed himself in between the trees, and he very casually, it's explained, he casually crawled in between the trees, and with his trailing paraphernalia, he clipped it in between the two trees. And with a little nudge, he didn't exert any energy. This is the important thing about Krishna Lila, that he doesn't exert himself. In Vamana Lila, when Lord Vamanadev took his third step, he had to exert himself. Right? He had to put his leg right up through the universe, his second step, right up. Very big splits he did. So he exerts himself in his Lila. And Lord Nrisimhadev exerts himself very much. He really works out with Hiranyakashipu and his men, right? It's a big workout. But Krishna, he does things very casually, nonchalantly. Just Krishna Lila like that. Lift the hill with a little finger. Not hard like this with one hand. No, with a little finger, he just lifts. No problem. So Krishna got the wooden grinding mortar and he just gave a nudge and the trees collapsed to the ground. These two huge trees, they just collapsed from the ground. The boys saw that and they thought, wow, this boy is strong. He can pull down these trees. They're thinking, he's a good friend. We should stay friends with Krishna. They were thinking like that. So then the elderly cowherds came and Madhya Yashoda, and they saw the two trees, and these demigods appeared from the trees. Very wonderful personalities, effulgent personalities, and offered a series of beautiful prayers to Krishna, who's bound. And they're offering these prayers to say that Krishna, he's like, as Queen Kunti offered the prayers Atavishveshva Vishvatma Vishvamurti Svakeshuva. That Krishna is the personality of the universe, he's the form of the universe, Krishna is everything of the universe, manifestation of the universe. And that Krishna, he's in the heart of the living entities, he's inspiring the living entities, and that Krishna can give liberation. This little baby boy who's bound, he can give liberation. The demigods are praying, he's bound up, and he's giving liberation to the demigods. And they're glorifying him for giving liberation. Mukti. Mukti hirvayata rupam. Giving this special rupa, this special form of liberation as seva, service. So then, Mani Griva Nadukavera, the final prayer is this, that Krishna, please, Vani gunanu katanesha vanu katayam, let everything I speak be glorification of Krishna. We don't want to speak anymore about mundane songs, Bollywood songs or whatever. We want to sing song of Krishna. We just want to sing your glories, Yashamoti Nandana. Let me sing Krishna's pastimes and activities. Vane gunanu katane shravano katayam. Let me hear Krishna kata. Let me not hear anything else. Let me just speak Krishna kata and Krishna's bhajan, Krishna's songs about Krishna lila. And let me hear about Krishna. This is Mother Yashoda. As Prabhupada said, we should learn from Mother Yashoda. The history of Mother Yashoda is an important history. It says that when Mother Yashoda is churning the yogurt in Vrindavan, Dadi Nimantare Kale, at that time, Smaranti Tanya Gayata, she's thinking of Krishna by chanting his Bala Lila. About Krishna, what is Krishna doing? She's reciting poetry, sweet poetry about Krishna. So let our poetry, let our literary expression, let our the thought, the articulation of our thinking be about Krishna. Let us think about Krishna, become focused, vevasiyatmika buddhi. Let the intelligence become for Krishna, and not for sense gratification. Let's become relieved. Then he says, hasto, that let my hands, hasto chakadeshu, manasatavapadayo na, let my hands and my limbs be for doing seva to God, to Krishna. I don't want to misuse these hands anymore. I want to use them to offer flowers to Krishna, in apanam, to offer the incense to Krishna, to offer the deep to Krishna, to offer everything to Krishna. Let my legs be used to go to the temple. Let my head, my mind, manasatavapadayona, put my mind at the lotus feet, the two lotus feet of Krishna. Put my mind there. Because when my mind is there, it will become completely transformed, inspired. And then let my head, siras mirtam tananivasa jagat praname, let me offer obeisances to every living entity in the universe. Jagat jananivasa. Every living entity in the universe, because Krishna's in the heart of every living entity, and if I offer obeisances to all the jivas in the universe, I'll be offering obeisances to Krishna. And then let me see the devotees. Drishti satam dashane stu tanu bhavanam. Because when I see the devotees, I see Krishna. That was their final prayer. That is a lesson. That is their transformation. From history, we have to learn how to become a better person, to transform. Mani Griva Nadukavera weren't always saints. They weren't always praying that I can see Krishna, that I can speak of Krishna, that I can hear Krishna, that I can do Krishna's seva. They weren't praying like that always. They were praying, I can do my seva, that I can do my enjoyment, that I can have sense gratification, that I can have enjoyment, that I've got so much opulence, I've got so much facility, it's all for me. Now they're praying, idam Krishnaya, idam namama. This is for Krishna. My facility is for Krishna, it's not for me. This is a nice meditation for us today that we can take away with us from Mani Griva Nadukavera. Transformational history from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Meditation. Something to meditate on rather than on our sense gratification. Because when we meditate on our sense gratification, we become miserable. We become frustrated, we become angry, we become greedy, we become disturbed, agitated. When we meditate on Krishna and Krishna's devotees and the stories and pastimes and activities of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we become inspired and enlivened and blissful and happy and knowledgeable. So Prabhupada concludes, Srimad Bhagavatam offers such transcendental topics of the Lord in relationship with His great devotees. Therefore, the topics of the devotees of the Lord are to be given respectful oral reception. Any questions or comments? If I can ask at this late hour.
One comment about
Mahatma Prabhu.
Sudama and Krishna. It is said that when Lord Krishna was washing the feet for Sudama and water was given, actually he was washing with the tears of his eyes. So I want to come because we remember in childhood we had Dekh Sudama ki deen dasha karuna karke karuna ne dilwaye. Pani parat kuch hiyo nahi, par nainan se par se par boi. The purport is that when Sudama was washing, the Lord Krishna is washing the feet. Instead of using the water from the tray, the tears of love was pouring from the eyes of Lord Krishna. And that was washing the feet of Sudama. So there will come response.
What can I comment, Prabhu? Thank you. That was very beautiful. Recitation.
The other thing was
maybe the he Krishna wanted to give Sudama a hot water bath. That's a fact. Krishna definitely is washing his feet with tears. In Chaitanya Lila also.
The other question was about Mukti Pada. The Mukti Pada, Sir Mohammad Bhattacharya wanted to collect it. Prabhupada gives in 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that Sir Mohammad Bhattacharya wanted to collect the word Mukti Pada from the Bhagavatam. So Mahaprabhu said no. There is no need of correction because Mukti Pada means is two lotus feet are giving shelter and giving Mukti to everybody. So there is no need of correction. Bhagavatam is so pure as you said. Amal Puran, spotless Puran. There cannot be any. The Mahaprabhu said no. You can't, there is no need of correction.
Thank you. Bhakti is Mukti. That's what the lesson is. That real mukti, mukti hitvayatarupa, means bhakti, not impersonal. Means to understand our relationship with Krishna, seva. It is, like I said, there are different types of history, and biography is an important part of historical documentation, and autobiography is also there. It's not just that it's autobiography is some form of narcissistic glorification of, you know, everyone has to know about me, but many great personalities had written autobiographies for the benefit of readers, for the benefit of other people. Like we have Radhanath Swami's biography, autobiography, how he came to Krishna consciousness. And through that book, I mean, he's been able to, pretty much because of that book, he's met, you know, some of the biggest, most important people on the planet. Because that book has had such an incredible impact on the lives of many people. And we were watching a presentation that he made to the House of Commons in UK, in the British Parliament. And I mean, it wasn't to the whole house, but it was to a room like this size. And there were many people, say 100 people sitting there listening to his presentation. And they were all important people, no doubt. And there was a lady there that was almost in tears listening to his narration. And it was only a snippet from his book, his whole book. And she was asking questions. You can see her at the end. She, first question was something like, "What did your poor mother think?" You know, she was like really getting into being, you know, what would it be like to be Radhanaswami's mother when he was going through all this transformation. And I was with Radhanaswami, I was in a, like a class, kind of a class in Mayapur with the Chinese devotees. All the Chinese devotees came to Mayapur and they dragged Maharaj Radhanaswami into this big room to give a Bhagavatam class for them. But it wasn't Bhagavatam, he just... Yeah, he did give some Bhagavatam class, but he told some stories. And it was translated in the Chinese language. Okay. Now the management are really doing the old Korma Prabhu trick. But Korma was older than me and more senior, so I would quickly finish up and yes, Prabhu. But no, I should finish. Anyway, quickly Radhanaswami said that one of the Chinese devotees asked him, "Maharaj, why did the scissors break when you cut your hair? Why did the scissors break?" You know, he had these dreadlocks and it was really thick hair and stuff. And he says, "The scissors broke." In the story, I didn't actually read the story. I'm going to read the story. My wife read it twice. So I know the past. I know the stories. And they're asking this question. They're asking all these detailed questions about his biography. And he laughed and then he said... Well, he didn't explain that because he had thick hair and it was like too much for the scissors. He said, like, maybe the scissors were made in China. Chinese devotees like that. Okay. Today is Saturday, so Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Gopi Minandi.